Should it be afternoon or evening? I'm not sure, but it's good to be here and to see you all. I wonder if we were to go and ask, sort of, what does Christmas time mean to you? We'd probably get a whole variety of answers. Inevitably, the events of the past year influence our answers. We may have lost a loved one, and this time of year, it comes home in a very special way. A new baby born during the year. It's different that first Christmas, isn't it? It all changes. So many things from the past year influence how we look at this particular Christmas time. Personally, I love this time of the year. The lights, Christmas trees, decorations brighten up those long dark nights of winter. There are the problems and difficulties, yes, we know, the presents, the planning, the preparing, the trauma of getting that right gift for Auntie Mabel, or whichever auntie it may be with you, just making sure you get the right one. Or maybe receiving that Christmas card. Oh, did I send them one? Those things that come in to all of us at this particular time. Christmas time, as I say, brings many different faces to many people in a whole variety of different ways. But I wonder for you, will it be a happy Christmas? Sadly, this time of year, statistics do show that Christmas is the time when there are more family arguments and disagreements than at any other time in the year. In fact, 2 weeks ago in the morning paper, that was a little small cartoon. Some of you may have seen it if you take the particular paper. It showed a couple sitting by the fireside, his paper to his wife and saying, "Are we having our family fight at your mother's house or mine this year?" It can be that kind of situation. I suppose really the true meaning of Christmas is often forgotten, ignored, or maybe not really understood. And that's why things can go wrong. I just want us for a short time this evening to take our thoughts back to that first Christmas time. So, ignore the pictures on the front of your Christmas cards, those robins sitting on red post boxes, the coach and four horses driving through the snow, stockings hanging on the mantelpiece, roast turkey on the table and presents under the tree. Instead, let's remember the events of that evening some 2,000 years or so ago when a baby was born in a stable outside an inn at Bethlehem in Judea. No doubt you realise that the Old Testament in our Bible points forward to this event, and the many prophecies and pictures are given concerning the birth and the life that followed. Tonight is not really the time to go deeply into these Old Testament prophecies and predictions. But I want to take a quick look at three particular things. The place that was chosen, the person who was chosen, and the purpose. The place, the person, and the purpose. Firstly, the place. The place was Bethlehem, of course, foretold by the prophet Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." This was understood by the religious leaders of the time to refer to the birthplace of the promised Messiah. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we read there when those wise men came from the east, they came to Jerusalem, seeking the king of the Jews. Herod, the king at the time, asked the chief priests and scribes, "Where would this Christ be born?" And they immediately responded with that particular reference in Micah. It would be Bethlehem. So it was understood that was to be the place it had been foretold. In the Gospel of John, when we're reading there, we read that the ordinary Jewish folks at the time also were aware of this, because a little into the public ministry of Jesus, people began to say, can this possibly be the Messiah? Can this possibly be the Christ, the one who should come? And they had doubts because they thought that Jesus came from Galilee. And they too referred to this same scripture. They said, but no, we're told, aren't we, that the Christ would come from the seed of David out of the town of Bethlehem. It can't be him. He comes from Galilee. So it was understood and realized that the place was fixed in Bethlehem. That's always interesting to keep in mind, because as we read the story in the Gospels about the birth of Jesus, we read, in fact, that Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, which is a mere 100 miles or so away from Bethlehem. When the angel had come and told the people, Joseph and Mary, about what was going to happen, they'd said nothing about moving to Bethlehem. So how was this all going to come about? Interesting, the word scripture uses at this particular time in the story, just those four words, but what an import they carry. We had it read to us at the start of our service today, that Mary, being great with child. Those of you who are mums here will resonate, I'm sure, with those particular four words. Certainly not the time to be thinking of moving 100 miles. Wouldn't have been a personal choice to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. They'd no doubt planned to stay at home for the birth. I'd say certainly the angel hadn't told them anything about having to move. So how on earth then was this great event to take place in Bethlehem? Maybe God could send an angel again and say, oh, by the way, we'd like you to move. It didn't happen that way. We read it right at the start of our service. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or enrolled. We don't really know why Augustus called for this particular census to take place. Maybe to satisfy his pride in knowing the numbers of his people. Maybe to make him appear very important and powerful in the world in which he lived. But God had another reason. All the world was to be counted, and in the process, Joseph and Mary will be brought from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because they came from the line of David. You see, man makes his schemes, man makes his plans, but God overrules. God is in control of the situation. God is able to use world events to bring his purposes to fruition. That old chorus we used to sing when we were children, some of you may remember it. God is still on the throne. God is in control. And here in this story, as we read it, we see God in control of the events that are happening in the world. The place was chosen, and God used this decree from Caesar Augustus that it should take place where he had chosen it to take place. The place was important to God's plan. Secondly, the person involved here. Again, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, we read, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. In the 9th chapter, he goes on, verses that I'm sure we're familiar with, quoted so often at this time of year. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Luke writes in his Gospel, of an angel coming to a virgin named Mary and telling her she had been chosen by God to have a son. When Mary asked how this would happen, the angel says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. The holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." That miracle of Bethlehem is that God came to earth in the form of man. Throughout the rest of the New Testament, the writers are moved by God to express this truth in differing ways. John, as he opens his gospel, writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And a few verses later, he writes, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God had planned that his Son would be born as a babe in Bethlehem. Paul, writing to the Galatians, writes this: "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." This babe at Bethlehem is truly God with us, Emmanuel. Thus, not only is the place important and God is working to bring it about, but the person, the Son of God, is also extremely important in God's plan because of the purpose behind all these events taking place. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that Joseph was visited by an angel and told that Mary would have a baby son, and he was to be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. In the Gospel of Luke, we read, "Mary, visited by an angel, chosen by God, says the angel, have a son, and to call his name Jesus." And Jesus, of course, very simply means Saviour. Also, as we had read to us just a short time ago, those angels came to the shepherds, and the message they brought them was, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And so we read the angels declaring to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds that that child born in the stable in Bethlehem was indeed a Saviour. In one of those last letters which Paul wrote, he writes to Timothy and says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That was his purpose in coming into this world. That babe of Bethlehem was born not to show us how to live a better type of life. That tiny infant in the manger was not born to be an example of how to live to please God. That lowly infant in the stable was not born to show us how to live together in this world. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in the stable outside the inn at Bethlehem to eventually die on a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world from heaven that we might get into heaven from this world. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to be the Saviour of lost sinners. God planned the place, the city of David, Bethlehem. God planned the person, the sinless Son of God, to become man, to die in our place. And God planned that birth at Bethlehem of his Son for the purpose of being our Saviour, being the way for us sinners to be reconciled to God. Paul expresses it in 2 Corinthians with these words: "God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself." What's the purpose of the birth of Jesus? It's God reconciling the world unto himself in Christ Jesus. We have just read together the response from the shepherds, chapter 2 and verse 15. They didn't in fact say, let's go and see if it's true what we've been told. They in fact said, let's go and see the thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Those shepherds approached Bethlehem in faith, believing what they had been told. I wonder, will you come to God by faith, believing what His Holy Spirit has told you in His Word is true? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that includes you. Will you turn to Him in faith this Christmas time? Claim Him to be your Saviour from sin, from its power now, from its consequences in eternity. Because if you know that to be true, it truly will be, for you, a happy Christmas. Lord bless you. Shall we sing our final hymn together? Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn King.